Well, let's take a look in Mark 4 today at different kinds of people. One of these days, I'm thinking, trying to work in, how would you like to, every few years, I do a study on the temperaments. Would anybody be open to having a study on the different temperaments and how God uses those? Anyone else? If not, I don't want to do it. If you do, I would have it. I will do it. We'd set up a little time, figure out how to do that, and learn how God's given you the certain temperaments you have and why you get in the trouble you do. Today, we're going to look at four different types, groups of people. And you might at first, and I don't blame you, you might at first think, well, how does this appeal to me or apply to me? But you'll see as we go through it. But one of the things we need to, and I know you've heard that, you've read this, but this is not an often read passage. But we're going to read about the soil of the, and I titled this, The Soil of the Heart. And it's basically a parable of the four soils, but it's the types, it's not really about soil, it's soil of the heart. It's the types of people, the hearts of people. And we need to understand this because all around us today, this is what we're having to struggle with. And pastors have to deal with this. You as a Christian trying to witness to people have to deal with this, just living your life. And so let me read this from the New Living Translation today. And he's Jesus is teaching by the lake shore, the side of the lake. And he said, we'll just break in on verse 3. He said, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock, and the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. And other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plant, so they produced no grain. And still other seeds fell on fertile soil. And they sprouted and grew and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as been planted. And he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And so he's saying, you know, if your heart and mind is open, he said, I want you to grasp this. You know, so if Jesus teaches something, it's got to have a lot of deep meaning and application and give us understanding. And so he is. It says a large crowd was gathered around. Well, this is a peculiar message to teach to a large crowd. But he wanted them to understand something. And by the way, if you understand this, one of the things that will keep you from doing is having so much stomach acid in dealing with people. So that, you know, it'll save you a lot of heart problems and blood pressure problems. You need to understand how this works, and it'll help us understand ourselves and how we as Christians can drift into this. And so when he was alone, you don't have all this up there, that when he was alone, his disciples, they said, we don't get it. And he kind of rebuked them. And in verse 13, Jesus said, if you don't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? And so I know they must have felt pretty low. If he hadn't given the explanation here, I'm not sure I would have gotten the deep application either. But then we break into verse 14 and pick it up again. So he reiterates this, but explains it to them. So he gives the parable, and then he gives the explanation because nobody got it. And he said, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So there you are. That's what we are. You know, we're disciples. But what are we really doing? We're planting seeds. And once in a while, we get to reap the harvest. Someone comes to Christ or they turn their life around or whatever happens. And that's what I hope for up here all the time. Is that in a message, someone will come to Christ or they'll turn their life around and rededicate their life and get renewed and come back to the Lord if they wandered away. And so he said, he plants the seed, and the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Be advised. Notice what he said here. for those of you who haven't thought much about it, how active the devil is. I don't want to give him any credit, no more than I have to. But look what he did here. If you don't think that he's involved in trying to disrupt services, mess up the sound, foul up this going out and on the internet, you're wrong. Because look what he said. The seed that fell on that footpath, it represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come and at once, it says, and take it away. You know what it's telling us here? If you don't get this word and let it sink in when you hear it, the minute you get up and start walking out of here, or before you do, too many things will happen. In other words, you've got to get it and get it deep and get it hard and let it hit the first time, because all these things in the world, that's what he was trying to teach. That's what steals God's word and away from people, and it's what grieves the Holy Spirit continually amongst Christians. So there's depth in this, because he says that devil came at once and he took it away, just like that. I've had people I've watched, and they were intently into the message, and their cell phone starts buzzing, and they grab it. At that moment, do you know what it is? You think, it's one of my kids, or that's whoever. What just happened there was the enemy got you distracted on the very point that God was trying to get home in your own heart. It's the truth. You know, I'm not up here, I'm not using this to beat on cell phones. I know we all love them, but personally, there's a lot of things that make me wish they'd never been invented. I'm serious. Because if you want to know the truth, many a person grew up without cell phones and made it okay. We really did. And as a matter of fact, let me tell you what. This is not in the message. Why am I going there? I'll go ahead and get over there in a minute if I don't shut up. Anyway, let me tell you one thing that it does. I know this is not going to change anybody. I better get over here on my soapbox. Okay. Soapbox, just for a moment, quick soapbox. We used to have to think for ourselves and come up with in our own. We had to be inventive, and we had to use imagination. We had to be creative. We had to think our way and work our way out of problems. We had to find solutions. That's what toughens you up. That's what makes you capable of facing life. Now we're too dependent on punching, just pushing in, and getting somebody else to answer it for us, come rescue us, get us out before we use the God-given brain and the leading of the Holy Spirit to figure out a problem for ourselves. That's the problem. And that's what it's created. It's created a nation of people dependent on something or somebody else. And the government is using this, and they know it, and they've jumped right in the middle of it to get us more dependent on somebody else. Okay, I'm through. Back to the message. You see how it works? I just want to throw that, but really, seriously, we don't realize about the more dependent we are on something or somebody else. And so that, and you say, is this got anything to do with me? Yes, it does, because look what happened. The devil, it fell on the footpath, and Satan came at once and took it away. And all this was said to say, you see how he takes things away? How he gets our mind off? Have you ever been praying and suddenly you realize your mind is on something else? You're reading scripture and you've read it, but you realize, I just read that whole half a chapter and I don't know what I read because my mind was on something else. It's like driving. You know, you're just driving and suddenly you come to yourself, and how did you go 10 miles and don't know you did it? Or am I the only one that has those psycho problems? You'll come to yourself and say, who just drove this vehicle? Isn't it weird? Well, that's how the devil gets us off. You see, and you can be praying and suddenly you're just mad at somebody else. You're thinking about something that happened? Who do you think's involved here? So you need to rebuke him all the time and be aware he comes to at once to take away whatever God is trying to give to you and show you. And he'll do it here. He'll do it in your home. He'll do it wherever you're at. So you be aware and keep him rebuked and keep you got to focus. You have to really focus. So let's move on. And he said the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. They're the people who jump up and, yay, you know, I'm all thrilled. Yes, I got it. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. And they fall away as soon as they have problems. See, look at this. As soon as they have problems or persecuted for believing God's word, they fall away. And the seed that fell among the thorns, man, and that... Everybody here has to fight the thorn issue. The seed that fell among thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is, get this, is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth. I haven't had that problem yet, but some of you might. And the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. Does this scare you a little bit? It hits us all. I mean, if you really read this for what it says, it's about us. It's about you and me, all people. And how many times has God's message been crowded out by the thorns of life? By worries. You ever sat in church and just worried all through church about something that you just gnawing on that worry bone the whole service? And you don't even, it's like when it's over, you're like, what happened? You just couldn't get your mind off of. This is the place you're supposed to be bring that stuff in here and get it out before God and hear his word, how he's going to take care of it. But a lot of us are just so addicted to carrying around troubles and worries, the thorns of life. We're just addicted to walking through thorn patches. If you want to get experience with thorn patches, you can just drive out there somewhere close to where I live and just start walking across the pasture. And you'll get experience with thorns real quick. Every mesquite tree that you touch has thorns about so long. And they're glad to make their introduction into your life. And that's what happens. And so we have this stuff picking and poking at us. Or the lure of wealth, trying to get more money. Got to get more money, I'm going to do it. And the desire for other things, so no fruit's produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word, and they produce a harvest. They hear it and they accept it. But get this, you have to realize what we read earlier. Grasp what he said. The devil comes and steals the foot from the footpath people instantly. So what has to happen? If you get an aha moment, you better let it sink in while it can. Because if you think, hey, I'm going to go and look back at that, and I'm going to pray more about that, be careful. It may not ever happen. Because the thorns of this life, all the junk, the devil come and steal it. But the seed that falls on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word, and they produce the harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. This is a neat passage. And I won't take... You know, hours and hours, and you're saying, oh, please don't take hours to do this. But I won't take a lot of time. So I just kind of name these people. We've got the footpath people, and that's what they really are. You know who the footpath people really are in life? You know what? You know, and we're all acquainted, right, with what he's talking about here. He's talking about in your garden or in a field, you know, in my garden, I've got places there that I walk on. And that's walked down, that packs down, so that I can lean over and work the tomato plants and work this and work that and work that. So I'm not stepping on things, so you've got a place that's walked down. Now, you may not have that in every garden, but he's talking about, you know, you've got the path where you have to walk to grow something, and it's packed down. And he said, so God, here we go, and we share the word of God, and it's and these footpath people are the people, they're just packed down. They don't want to hear it. It falls on hard soil. It falls on soil that is just so packed down in such a stubborn resistance. They're set in concrete. You know, the footpath people are the people who believe that their opinion is gospel. Their opinion is the word of God. Do you know anyone like that? That what they think is the gospel. And buddy, you better do it. And you better do it the way they say to do it. These are the folks, you can't change their mind. They're just footpath people. And they can come to church and some some of them footpath people come to church because they go through the motions. So many people think that coming to a church service is going to get them to heaven. Let me be real straight about something here. It's not funny, I'm laughing, but I've heard that so many times it just becomes laughable to me. I'll say, have you asked Jesus in your heart? I go to church. Good. Have you asked Jesus in your heart? I'm there all the time. And we just keep going with that. And they think that the church experience is going to save them. And they people, there's many more than we realize that feel like that if I'm in church or I tithe, I've had some say that every time I ask them, if you ask Christ in your heart, I tithe. So did the Pharisees. But Jesus had a word to say to them. I tithe. Sure. Do we want you to tithe? I pray you will. I pray you a bunch of tithing. Win the lottery. Tithe, tithe, tithe. Do all that. But that's not going to get you to heaven. And you say, I know this. Yes, but a lot of people don't. And it needs to be said so that we're all clear on this. There is nothing we can do by works to get us to heaven. The only way we're going to get there is to ask Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and forgive us of our sins. That's it. He is the way and the truth and the life, and that's it. I wish every pastor in America would just say that instead of mumbling, fumbling around, and you ask them, is Jesus Christ the only way to heaven? Well, and they don't say it. Get out there with it. You know what they're afraid of? They're afraid they're going to offend these footpath people who come to church believing church is going to save them. And why are they afraid of offending them? Because they're afraid they won't keep giving them money. I hope you boys are listening out there this morning. It's the truth. It's the truth. And so what do? You enable these people. You enable people to keep doing what they're doing, and you're leading them down the path to hell, and that's not what we're here to do. So I'm not trying to be mean or rough. It's simply to say, for you need to grasp this. There are some people in this world that have their minds made up. Their opinion is gospel. And frankly, you need to just quit wasting your time on footpath people. Pray for them. But you go where, you need to invest your time and your effort, your life, in people who want life. Is everybody listening? Seriously. And I know this is hard stuff. There's people, I think age has helped me a lot. I used to just try so hard to convince people who were these footpath people. You get older and you just don't want to mess with it anymore. You know what I mean? You get older and you just get more cranky. A little more irritable. And your patience wears a little thin. And it's finally like, I'm tired of hearing these arguments. I've even said that. I can't believe it. So I even say these things these days. I'm tired of hearing these arguments. Do you want to ask Jesus in your heart or not? Well, you're being rude. You're being stupid. It's like, Tony, did you always talk that way? No, but I do now. Can you spell stupid? Because that's what you're being. And it's like, Tony, God, you're supposed to love people. I'm lovingly saying you're stupid. Don't take all that for the gospel truth, but there's some truth in it. Let's move on. So there's these footpath people, and they're just so packed down with their own themselves. No way of reaching them. And the devil comes and steals whatever comes to them because they don't absorb it. It's just blown in the wind. Secondly, I titled these people. it fell on the rocky soil. I just call these the hard rock people. You know any hard rock people? You know, they're the people that like to look good, play the part. Kind of like footpath people. Except the hard rock people, they actually get excited. Let me tell you. Okay, and I'm not trying to, just bear with me, okay? The hard rock people that come to churches, and we're not able to offer that, but there's a lot of hard rock people that come to churches, and they're the ones that say, oh, I go to whatever church, because, man, they just have 45 minutes of music, and I just get in there, and I'm thinking, yeah, really? Are you with me? And they have 15 minutes of message. See, so I don't have to listen to that preaching very long. And I think when you read the Bible, you've got that backwards. You know, seriously? There should be about 15 minutes of music and about 45 minutes of getting the gospel out there so people finally get it in their heart. Sermonettes produce Christianettes. What was that? Like a raisinette. Yeah. Like a raisinette. But are you with me? I'm not trying to be on the box so much today. I'm not trying to beat the drum. It's simply this. The hard rock people. And it says this. They receive the word with joy, but they don't have any deep roots. They don't last long. They fall away when they have problems, persecuted, whatever. Why? Because they're there for the emotion. Listen to me. This is why we have to be careful as Christians, and we need to understand ourselves as well as other people. There's many people go to church, they call themselves Christians, but they're there for the emotional experience, not the spiritual experience. That's why they have that moment of joy. I mean, they'll go running down the aisle. They're jumping up. Yes, yes, yes. And they are. They're excited about it. But they're in it and they're tied into emotions. But the Word of God is not able to penetrate the hardness of their hearts. They want to be entertained and they don't want to be committed. That's the hard rockers. You know, let me say something that causes me to hurt for hard rock people. A lot of these people haven't developed the character and the desire for godly character because they don't really know God that way. They know God as an emotion, not as a living experience. Everybody with me? But they're people often, I found with these hard rock people, they're people who've been through a pain and abuse, broken relationships. They've moved from one emotional experience to another and they seek and crave something to make them feel good. That's why I have a pity in my heart for them. And that's why they get so ecstatic and they're so joyful, that quick joy. They're looking for anything to take away that pain. But under the surface, there's such a hard rock. And hard things have happened to a lot of these people. And you dig into their lives a little bit and you say, that's why you're seeking such a feel-good experience. Don't you know if you could just get Jesus, just give him a chance. He's knocking at your heart, the door, and let him come in. Man, he can take out that pain. He can take out that brokenness. He can heal you from that abuse. I want to share something with you. Never shared. I don't believe I've ever shared this. This week I went up and spent a little time out west, northwest, way out there in the sand and mesquites and rattlesnakes. And I was walking around in a ghillie suit with a little turkey call. But then we went fishing, went crappie fishing, caught 33 crappie, about that, big old slabs. And that was all fun. But I got to talking to my cousin. And I said, you know, can we go up to the cemetery when we get back? And there's something I really need to do. And he said, what? I said, there's a little grave I need to find in a cemetery. And when my sister and I were pretty small, all of you know my mom had terrible problems, but Anyway, she became pregnant again, and she ran away. We couldn't find her. And she was gone for quite a while. And when she found the sheriff and the police looking, finally found her in Fort Worth. And she had taken something, done something. Anyway, the baby was born, and it was dead. And it was just called baby boy. We were little. And that little baby was buried out there with just a little flint stone. It's always left a wound in the place in my heart. And it was like, that was just so wrong. And it's been a deeply held, closely held secret in my life. It's just so much, you know. So we went up and we walked this cemetery. We walked row after row after row after row where the baby was. We couldn't find it. So we called the, you know, director of the cemetery, who was a couple years ahead of me in school. I knew him. Anyway, we all were looking. We went out. And anyway, the search began, and they pulled all the cemetery records, and it's not in the records. And so, you know, it just left, it's just that void there. But I just wanted, it's like, I feel the need. I want to show respect to this little fella that didn't get to come into the world because of very tragic, sad circumstances, and it wasn't, you know, just someone who just was ill, very mentally ill, and that happened. And I've held it close to my heart, and there's something that starts, you know, God just starts working, saying, well, put a headstone there. Don't call that baby boy. That's your little brother. Well, we couldn't find it. Everybody's still looking. They think they found it. I got a call, and it was really neat. People really got in on this, and they wanted to find this thing. And I realize in my own life, and it's like, Tony, do you see, that kind of thing can make your heart hard. It can make you bitter. It can make you where you just, it could make you where you just want to seek alcohol or take some drugs or do, you with me? Or just seek one religious experience after another and miss the true essence of Jesus Christ. And you can become a hard rock person. And God used that to say, keep your heart open, son, to help hard rock people. Even footpath people, they their mind's made up. But the hard rock people have had hard things happen just like that. And I thought, without Jesus Christ, how would your heart be? How would my heart be? Pretty hard. Rock hard. And every human being with enough pain, enough hurt, seeks some release for that pain. Some move to church and they want an experience. They want the music. They want the emotional, something to let them escape for a few minutes, not ever realizing escape is not the answer. Healing is. And healing that comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They can't settle down and they don't have any roots. They're just so shallow with emotion. Because see, when you have hurts and pains, it just destroys your feelings. And only Jesus Christ can help you feel again. This is deep stuff. It's powerful stuff. And that's what he was trying to get over to them is oh, you know, but nonetheless, they're out there, and so many hard rock people will never move beyond the pains of their lives. One day we're going to find that little grave, I promise you that. But the point of it in sharing that with you was to say, it hits me really strong in this message of, Tony, that's where you'd be, son, if Jesus Christ was not in your heart. Because that's just too much. But because he's there, he does the opposite and says, now help these people that have walked the life like that and are looking for graves. With me? Whatever that may be. Whatever's buried in their life. Whatever secret is out there in the ground somewhere of their heart. Help them. Let's move on, because we got to close up here. And then we go to the thorny people. I originally called them the Briar Patch people. I couldn't help it. Who was that? What was that little character that went in the Briar Patch? The tar baby and all that? Huh? Yeah, I remember that. Thank you. It's been so long. And anyway, I couldn't help it. Just, you know, in the Briar Patch. These Thornbrush people, here's what he said. See, these are real close in identifying. But the thorny people, they're interesting people. And you know, the seed that fell among thorns represents others who hear God's word, but they all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries and the life and wealth and desire. Folks, this one probably hits closer to home than any of them. And this is what I alluded to earlier with the little cell phone thing I was playing around with. But when we get serious about it, the thorny people, the thornbrush people, the briar patch folks, they get hung up constantly in thorns. They want God. They want Jesus. They want the Holy Spirit. The problem is they want Him. They really do. But they can't. They want Jesus Christ, but they just won't let Jesus Christ have them. About the time the Thornbrush people really start having a real meaningful experience with Christ, a one-on-one, intimate getting together. The cares of this world, the worries of it, the deceitfulness of it, the stuff comes into their life. And those are the thorns. And the thorns stick them. And they're, ouch, and they're getting around, and they're, oh, and they're looking now at those things instead of God. And listen to me. That is where the devil probably, with most of us, that's where he tries to get us right there. He wants us to be stuck by his thorns, the cares and worries of life, the pursuit of riches, the looking at what's going on around us too much, and we miss what Jesus Christ is wanting to do in our lives. Probably every Christian in this room will struggle with the thorns of life. They're constantly out there to poke us and distract us. There's just no way you can get hit by a mesquite thorn and not, whoa, you know. And if it sticks in there, you want it out, because they have toxins, see, and they can make you sick. You got to get it out. When Jesus was describing in this parable the thorns of life that distract these, that they receive the word, they want it. They just won't let God have them, because they just don't have time. They're so caught up. It's just one thing after another. It can be any number. It doesn't have to be troubles. I've known people that have honestly said to me, "My goodness, Tony, I'd come to church, but my grandkids just need." You know, it can be just that right there. I mean, you love them, but it can be family. It can be anything. It can be a job. It can be worries and one whatever. All he said, looking for riches, but friends. Those are the things, really, for every Christian we have to watch out for. And right now, in our time, there are more thorns out here trying to poke us and make us sick than I've ever seen before. We're worried about our economy. We don't know what the government's going to do. We, you know, what's the president going to do? The president doesn't know. Listen, the president doesn't know what the president's going to do. So quit trying to figure out what he's going to do, because he doesn't know what he's going to do. And they're trying to pass laws again. Well, I can't say that. But while I can, I'll say it. I'm not here to beat them up. I'm just speaking the way it is. Okay, thank you. But the thorny people, the deceitfulness of riches, and they chase after that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. They desire things. They run after the latest, greatest, best, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They just can't keep the joy of the Lord in their hearts, because they're so caught up in the world. And friends, that's a trap right now every one of us will have to watch for. Don't let the world steal your joy. Don't let it quench the Holy Spirit. There's so much more I want to say. I can't. We got to close it. Let me hit the fourth one. And then we come to the willing and ready people. That's how I titled it. The willing and the ready. I didn't know how else to say it. Because that's the good soil. It didn't fall. The word of God falls. Did you know, by the way, you're here this morning because you were willing and ready at some point in your life? Do you realize that? And the seed, the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit who sowed that word, you let that take root in your life. And those roots went down. And you're here worshiping God when you could be out in the sun, you could be catching crappie, you could be fishing, you could be doing all kinds of things, but you're not. You're taking out and you're not letting the cares of this world keep you away from worshiping together. As he said, don't forsake assembling yourselves together. That's in Hebrews. But you've got to come together and encourage one another is what he says. And you're here because you're the good ground people. You're the willing and ready people. And not that you don't have your issues and struggle with thorn brush and rocky stuff, but you're the ones that the word of God took hold. You heard the word. Listen to me. You've heard the word, even the parts of it that you don't like. And I commend you for it. A lot of people want to go to churches where they never hear anything negative from the word of God. There are just some things in the word of God I don't want to hear. Do you? Every once in a while I read something in scripture and I'm thinking, why did he put that in there? Why did he say, I have to love my enemies? I've mentioned it before, but I struggle with that. Loving somebody that's wacky, just dumb, stupid, whatever, you know. Tony, that's not politically correct. I don't care. You get to a certain place in life, do you care about political correctness? No. But you know what I mean? There's people but loving your enemies, loving those people out here who hate us, who hate God, it's hard for me to love people who want to be God. Is it hard for you? And he put that in there. I got to love them. And I have to pray hard about it. I got to work on it. But nonetheless, there's the good ground, folks, the willing and ready people. You receive the word of God, even the parts you don't like. And you received it because your hearts were hungry for it. You understood. You knew there had to be more to life than just this. This. That's what I can't get people to understand and argue with me about Christianity. Don't you think there's got to be more to it than just this? Of course there is. What's wrong with you? You've received it. You bear fruit. You tell others about Christ. The ready and willing people that bear. And listen to me. For some of you who feel like that you're not being as effective as somebody else that you're looking at, would you look at something real quick? He said they produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted. Here's what he's telling you. Some people will produce 30 times as much as was planted. Some will do 60, and if some, even, he says, which means not many, will produce 100 times as much as was planted. You say, what does that mean? And you know, what is he really saying? He's saying he's gifted you, and what he wants you to do may seem just 30% of what somebody else is doing, but it's 100% to God. That's why we can't compare ourselves to others. Look at me. Could I compare myself to a bunch of other pastors? And look at the churches and the parking lots, and they get to have the deputies off duty, you know, out controlling traffic. It looks so good. You know, you drive by, and they have their personalized parking places. I went to one place where they were on the radios, and the pastor, that's the truth. The pastor was Eagle One, and the wife was Eagle Two, and they would radio in on the parking lot. Eagle One is arriving, Eagle Two is arriving, and they'd escort them, and so people wouldn't talk to them outside. That's a little much. Okay, but that really happened. That was a place. And so, but anyway, so I'm not Eagle One or Eagle Two. I'm Tony Toyota man who parks at the back of the lot. So that, anyway, that's about the best I can do. I have my own place. It's under a cedar tree back there. But you can compare yourself, see, to people, and you compare yourself in your job or your looks or anything else, but especially in your fruit bearing, and you say, I don't know. All I get to do is I come to church and I talk to people when I can. I encourage them. And you, okay, so you're bearing 30. You're the 30% person. But you're not. You're 100% to God. You don't compare to others. And so some 30, some 60, and even some 100. And he's saying, but all of these are doing what I called them to do. And what he's saying is, don't ever compare to somebody else. And it's a word for me, word for all of us. Do what you can do where God put you to do it. And that's 100% to God. Okay? All right. I'm not born yet, am I? Okay, if I am, I'll do something else. I'll get back on the soapbox. We're going to close now. But here it is. So what lessons do we learn from all this? Our purpose on this earth as Christians is to sow the seed and leave the results to God. You may only see 30% and you know, and you think in your life or 60. Very few people are going to be 100%. But your purpose is to sow the seed where you are, leave the results to God, and realize this. Hear me. You can't win them all. It has been a hard thing for me to realize that, Tony, you will never reach all the people you wanted to reach. You will never be out there preaching to tens of thousands, and not even all that come to church, wherever you've been, not all of them were saved. You just couldn't reach them all no matter what, because they were people on the rock. They were people that were in the footpath. I want you to realize something here. You know what Jesus told us in this parable besides all these insights? Did you ever put this together? He said roughly 1 out of 4 you will reach. He gave you 4 groups and only 1 group could you reach. You ever thought about it? He himself reached 1 out of 4. It hit you hard when you think about it. Of all the people that you witnessed to and ministered to, he just saying that was 1 group of people out of 4 groups that'll ever receive his word. And so reach for those people that want it and go for them. Some will never receive it, period, never. Others won't let it take control because they have no root. And some won't they'll receive it, but they won't let it ever grow in their hearts because of the cares and the riches of this world and the thorns out there. But there are those who receive God's word and it becomes their whole life. And Jesus becomes their Savior and their Lord. And he becomes everything to them, their joy, their hope, their faith, their life. That's you. Let Jesus plow the ground. Let him bring in the topsoil. Let him weed out the thorns. You just do your part. That's what all we can do with all that's going around us. You be faithful to God where you are and let God take care of the rest. And this last point. The lesson for us all is to always keep a check on our own hearts to make sure that we're not getting a little thorny or a little rocky. Or God forbid, even a little like a footpath. Let God keep your heart soft and well watered. Let God plow up the soil. Let him till your heart. Stay in his word. Stay in prayer. Stay in confession. But most of all, friends, stay in love. Stay in love with God. Love for God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And stay in love with your neighbor, with everybody here, God's people everywhere. Keep your heart soft by letting God water it and nurture it through his word, through prayer, through his fellowship with you, and through your love. Keep soft in love. Fertilized in love, and you will produce the fruit, whether it's 30, 60, or 100. It doesn't matter. You will produce fruit because you're that good soil people. All right? Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your will. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Take this and sink it deep in our lives and work your powerful work. Change us, mold us, and keep our hearts open and soft and bearing fruit. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you for being here.